Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the book of Proverbs. We've ended up in Proverbs chapter 18, about verse 6 here, where it says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of Yahuwah is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And, you know, when I read a verse like that, and I see the name of the Creator there, and it says the name, and then it's omitted, and it says of the Lord instead of his name in the Hebrew, is a strong tower. And as I go through the scripture, I see reference after reference to glorify his name, to praise his name over and over, to sing praises to his name. And then it says here, the name. And then in the Hebrew, it says the name, but it's omitted in our modern translations, where they say his name is a strong tower, but they omit his name. And so it's a lot different. And I think it's important to read with understanding. And when you read the name and it says of the Lord, but when you realize in the Hebrew that it actually is naming him, the name of Yahuwah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And if you want to learn more about the name and why I say it the way I say it, I have a document on my website. You can go there. And I'm not sure exactly how to find it, but I know it's there. Let me look for it so I can guide you to it. But I'm sure I have a link on my page to a document that gives you more details than you need, really, to understand his name. Okay. Perhaps I don't. Oh, yeah, there it is. The name of the Creator. You can find it under the box. If you scroll down just slightly on my website, you'll see a bunch of links there. The first one being to the Christian Pledge of Allegiance. You have the Book of Jasher there. And the name of the Creator. You'll find a PDF document there. And I have to give thanks to Troy Miller for most of what's in that document. But there it is, very convincing, very logical, coming to the conclusion of the pronunciation of his name. But you can find it at crosstheborder.org. And then when you read things like the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and then it should beg the question, well, if the name of the Lord is a strong tower, what is his name? What is this strong tower? His name certainly isn't the Lord, is it? A lot of people think it is, and a lot of people think his name is God. And some people carry it so far as to say that that they don't want to say his name, so they type it out G-D. That's like writing, well, the man M-N. You know, yes, you're just replacing a hyphen for the O. I don't get it, but I guess some people do. The name of, and if we were reading in Hebrew, we would be saying the name of Yahuwah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And certainly there's a certain amount of symbology here. It is a symbol that we run to him. He is our strong tower. Who is our strong tower? You know, most people would refer to him as the Lord. But Yahuwah, our Creator, he is a strong tower. We need to run to him. And I like the graphic, the illustration here. If you can see it in your mind, he is our strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Chapter 18, verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. So for those of you that have been blessed with riches, well, don't trust in those riches. because riches can come and riches can go, and one day you will be parted from everything. Because you, as the saying goes, you can't take it with you. You certainly can't. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. There's so many people that are like that today. And we've discussed this last time. We talked about the simple believeth everything. They don't really look into a matter. They answer a matter before they hear it. What they believe is the little bit they've been told, or what they've learned all their lives. They're not willing to hear anything out. What they'll do is immediately judge anyone a fool who does not believe, the mainstream indoctrination, you know, the mainstream propaganda. If you don't believe that, then there's something wrong with you, and they'll judge you before they hear you out. They'll just plug their ears, you know, figuratively plug their ears, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want their little reality disturbed. It might require them to change. It might require them to some type of response that would cause them to, have to do something besides watch sports and American Idol on TV. American Idol. Yes. What do the Americans idolize? People who exalt their own gates. There you go. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. That's where we left. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Yes, but we need to search out every matter. The lot causes contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You want to have friends? Then be friendly. You know, the principle there is you reap what you sow. And whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtain favor of the Lord. In the world, I see that there's a spirit that goes about, especially among the young men, that you don't want to get. They refer to married life, the old ball and chain, things like that, tying the knot, losing your freedom, and things like that. You see how contrary that spirit is to what our Heavenly Father would desire for us. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of Yahuwah. So you see how the world is contrary to the ways of our Heavenly Father. In chapter 19 and verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You know, so much of the Proverbs, to me anyway, goes without explanation, and I hope it's that simplicity that I find in the Proverbs that that people are able to understand. You know, I guess to a lot of people this could just seem like so much foolishness or simple, unimportant and not very interesting, boring kind of stuff. But I feel sorry for people who are bored with life. I really do. I've heard occasionally from children. I don't hear it from my own, and perhaps because if I heard it once, I let them know how I feel about boredom. I'm bored. How many people hear that from their children, their grandchildren? I'm bored. And my response to them is boredom is a sign of a weak mind. That's why I don't hear it from my children and my grandchildren. Because they hear that's my response. My response is not to get them entertained, or what they expect. My response is that boredom is the sign of a weak mind, and meaning that it's their mind, and boredom is a state of mind. Now, I find some people boring. That's true. That means I don't have time for them, that I have more important things to do than hang out with and listen to boring people. I guess there are people, like I just say, who could consider what I'm doing here every day boring. And I'm sure they do. I hear it from some of them. Had one guy, interestingly enough, he subscribed to the radio network that I'm on, FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And he got the CD weekly and immediately wanted his money back. He said that it was boring and he already knew everything. Well, he obviously doesn't know everything, because he would have known how bored he was going to be and he wouldn't have subscribed in the first place. But anyway, I thought that was rather funny that someone could say something like that. But boredom is I find people that have a rattle to shake, but they never really have anything wise to say. They just excite and anger. Well, really, they pander to emotion in one way or another. Now, I find that I get bored with that quickly. But that's what I think about boring. Okay, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And I keep forgetting to mark exactly what verse I leave off on when I get off on my little side trails there. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. So for all of you out there that would break the commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, well, don't ever think you're going to get away with it. You may get a prize from the prosecuting attorney, but, you know, this life is short, and any reward that you get, well, it will vanish away, and you will not be unpunished. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Oh, is that why they always promise free drugs when they run to be the mouth of the beast? Gifts for everybody, free drugs, you know, gas rebates, gas tax rebates, whatever. Oh yes, I think the present mouth of the beast, isn't he giving gifts to all of his card-carrying members out there? Everyone's getting a tax rebate, $600, $1,200, whatever dollars. Yes, he's trying to be everybody's friend for some reason. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Yes, yeah, especially while they're getting the gift, right? All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. This guy repeats himself quite a bit, because we just read that a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And here he says he that speaketh lies shall perish. Fairly important. The commandments. It goes right to the commandment. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. We have a nation that was founded on the principle, that lamb-like principle. I keep running into these lamb-like principles that this nation was founded on. And one of them, one of the lamb-like principles, is that whoever is the greatest shall be the servant of all. And supposedly, you know, that was demonstrated early on in the nation, that many of those that served early in this nation died penniless. There were no pension plans for them. They served in the legislature, some of them at a great cost to themselves, and they gained nothing for it. And fortunately, they were only served for a short time. But that's not the way it is today, is it? They've turned that principle all around. They've taken that lamb-like principle and perverted it, so to where those that are the greatest are no longer servants, but they're being served by those that they are supposed to serve. And they earn, you know, 10 times or more than they could for the same type of work and out in the free market. They have pension plans that last their lifetime, even though they've only served for a 4-year office. How does that work? You know, shouldn't they only get so many years of pension for each 4 years that they serve? But no, it's lifetime if they serve. Yes, so they get to go on about their business even if they serve only 4 years. And yes, they've enriched themselves. They've sold the people into servitude. And people get into office now because they know it's going to make them rich. They know that great wealth is found there by perverting the law. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. But those public servants, they are supposed to be the servants of the people. Yet it's totally the opposite. Move on to verse 11 here. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping or dropping. You know, that faucet that keeps you awake at night, that continual dripping is how annoying it could be. The contentions of a wife. Yeah, who wants a contentious woman? It would be better to dwell alone. Verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from Yahuwah, from the Lord God. And it's interesting here, when you see the Lord, it says here, there's two references in the Hebrew, mene. What does that mean? Okay, it actually means from. Okay, from the Lord. So, preposition. A prudent wife is from the Lord, and that's as opposed to the wife who's a continual dropping. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. You know, a lot of these proverbs are like, it's like a coin with two different sides to it. And here you have one that keeps the commandments. He keeps his own soul. So the idea is here, but he that despises his ways or doesn't keep the commandments shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given he will pay him again. Okay, we're going to take a short break here, a little bit of music, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.